Guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse. Now, I feel like every week I talk about fascinating people doing cool things, but this one actually, it fits into all those categories, but I would have to say unexpected, at least for me, because it's a sport, a personality that I'm not as familiar as I should be. Up-and-coming star in NASCAR. NASCAR is an organization. LeVar Scott is in the building. Appreciate you coming in. So I'm sitting here about to ask all these questions because I don't really understand.
That's why I'm here.
So explain to people what you do.
Yes. Yeah, so like you said, I'm a NASCAR driver. It's kind of ordinary for people. But yeah, I'm a NASCAR driver. I've been racing ever since I was 5 years old. Drove something when I was 3 years old on my grandmom's lap in a little yard around our house. But yeah, I've been professionally racing for the past 5 years with a team down in North Carolina. I started when I was like Southern New Jersey, racing Delaware, Pennsylvania, and got some big wins and got attention of some NASCAR teams and was able to make it happen that way.
So NASCAR is, because NASCAR actually airs on our station. Mm-hmm. So NASCAR is the organization,
yep,
it's not the kind of car.
Yes, yeah, I want to say it's not the kind of car, but it's the company, it's the organization, and then but you have a spec car that you have to use. You can't bring your Honda Civic out to the racetrack. Track. But yeah, it's the company, it's the governing body of what we're allowed to race.
So I'm on your Instagram page. Y'all should follow him. It's a good follow. Your Instagram page, and I see you driving these.
Yes.
But I also see you driving what looks like a really hyped up go-kart. So you drive what?
Yeah, so those are called dirt micro sprints, and that's what I grew up racing. And so I drive those all the time with my family. My family owns those cars, so we race those in Pennsylvania. That race recently was in upstate New York near Rochester. That's kind of my home base of racing. So I say that those cars keep me sharp. The weekends I'm not racing NASCAR professionally, I love to drive those cars because it brings me back at home and I'm with my family, we're having fun, right? And it's just good racing. They're like 25 laps where compared to NASCAR races, like a 250 lap race. So those races, every lap, you're set on kill, you're trying to get that next position, you're racing really hard for 25 hard laps. So I think it keeps me sharp and ready to go when I have to perform in the stock car world.
Okay, so you said you got into this when you were very young.
Very young.
So your family was doing this because it's an unusual, you know, career pursuit.
Yes.
But it's especially unusual for African-American and people of color. But it was in your family.
Yep. So my mom, she was a drag racer. Okay. Yeah, my mom drag racing, and she fell in love with my grandfather who started drag racing when he was younger, built his own cars. So that eventually led to my mom getting built her own car, and then my aunts, uncles, my little cousins, my brothers, everyone in my family races. My aunts and uncles, they stopped, but my brother starting down with me and my little cousins, we all still race to this day. It's definitely a family sport. I know yesterday I had some work to do in the morning. I went back home yesterday and my grandpa was in the shop working on dirt cars for my little cousin. Okay. So it's something that we all love. And I'm very, very blessed and fortunate to grow up in the family that I grew up in because I definitely found my love for a particular sport.
See, you hear that story, you hear NASCAR, and the stereotypes start flying. So you must be from somewhere down south.
No, South Jersey. Yep,
right.
Exactly.
So and I knew that.
Yeah.
But so all of that, like they're doing this in the drag racing in the background and all that over the bridge.
Yep. So it was weird. Growing up, I always knew what NASCAR was because it was always my dream, but I wasn't connected to anybody in NASCAR because it was a southern thing, right? It was nobody close to here. Like right now, I'm the only Philadelphia full-time driver only. And that's Philadelphia is one of the largest markets for racing. I mean, we have all the biggest sponsors here. We have Exalta, Sunoco, Roger Penske's from here, Martin Truex, a cup champion. He grew up in New Jersey. So we have a lot of Philadelphia power in NASCAR. But for me to be only driver, it's weird, right? So growing up, we always knew what NASCAR was. It was always my dream, but just dirt racing was everywhere. And then drag tracks was everywhere. So that's just kind of what we started doing. And then as we kind of traveled around the U.S. more to race my dirt cars, we met people in NASCAR, started talking, and figured out a path and a avenue I could take to make it.
Are there more people involved than you would think? Because you said that it's here. You're the only one yep. in this area, but you grew up with it. You know, ATCO's not that far. Yep. Millville, like there's exactly. places where people yeah. go to actually yeah. drive.
It's the people that are there. It's a lot of people, but to the broad scheme of things, it's not that many people. There should be a lot more. Like you had said, like I said, this is one of the largest media markets in the nation. We would think there would be a lot more fans here. When there is more fans, you just don't really hear or know about them, which is weird to me somehow. But the people that go to the racetrack, like the tracks are always packed. I mean, mm-hmm. you have stands always packed, but it could be so much more magnified, and that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to bring that type of passion and love that I have for the sport to millions of fans and people inside of Philadelphia and just the region in general. I wish there was more, but I'm definitely working and trying very hard to bring more fans there.
Now, you said you started when you were like 3. You were driving when you were 5. Yep. You're only, 22?
22, yes.
Now. Okay, yeah. So in doing that, competing professionally, you said you want to kind of expand that base.
100%.
In this area. Is that a lot to carry as a 22-year-old whose own career is going like this?
It is, but I mean, I love it. Like, I love it. Like, I just met you two days ago, right? And we already have this scheduled. Like, I love this type of work. I love doing what I do, and I love the racing, but all the extra stuff around it, it doesn't feel like a job or work to me because I truly enjoy it because I'm passionate about it. And I really think there's a way here. And if I could find a way to bridge that gap, this would be an amazing fan base for NASCAR. And there's no reason. I mean, we all love cars. When I'm on a highway, I see all the Dodge Challengers flying and cars right. cutting up through traffic. Like, we all love cars. Yeah. We just got to show it and show why NASCAR is awesome. And there's a stigma, like when you think of NASCAR, you don't think of us.
Right.
But it's these past 5 years that I've been there, like I've truly been seeing a large change. When I walk through the pit garage, everybody's super supportive and cool. And I just got to show that. And because before I got into NASCAR and really seen it for myself.
You felt the same way we did.
Exactly.
Like that's not for
exactly.
me.
Exactly.
Okay.
But now you walk down pit road, I mean, most of the pit crew men are African Americans. I mean, you got African Americans all on teams now. You got 3 drivers, me, Raja, and Bubba. So we're there, but it could be so much more.
Why do you think, because there are things, we were talking before about this urban youth racing yep. is in this area. You're part of different programs with NASCAR to kind of expand the yep. base. Again, on your Instagram page, I saw you going into the schools and talking to people, particularly young yes. African Americans. Why do you think it hasn't picked up? Because you're right. Like, yeah. We're driving everywhere. Yeah. We love it,
yeah.
but not really in it.
I don't know, because I think NASCAR doesn't have that particular star power yet, that person or group of people that can really push that narrative. I probably shouldn't say this, but a lot of NASCAR drivers, they come from really rich backgrounds. So no matter what they do, what they say, they're going to be in a position no matter what, right? So they don't need to post or need to have that star power, right? They're going to be fine no matter what. Whereas in me, I got to build that social media presence. You got to do this. You have to do that to kind of build sponsors and things of that nature. So I don't think there's a few jobs, but there hasn't been a multitude of drivers for fans and people to really resonate to and get behind. And so I think a lot of our fans are still the older generation of fans. Whereas in this new day and age, you got kids, they love social media. They love cool posts. So that's why if you look on my social media, I'll have a lot of the videos with the cool songs behind them, because I'm trying to resonate and build that young fan base to have that type of presence behind me. But I really don't know, because it is a cool sport, right? And we have 2 tracks around here. We have Pocono and Dover, which are really 2 good tracks. So it just like everybody else, it does confuse me why we don't have more fans. But I do think it's because of there's no real star power yet in NASCAR. And there's a few, but not how it could be.
Man, you just like talked the light up on you. Like when the lights wasn't working, you started talking, the light said, I got to come on for this. Like theme music and whatnot. When you get a chance to speak to young people,
yep.
And that's something that you're doing a lot of, are they responsive? Do young people, like when they get a chance to interact yeah. with you, are they interested and intrigued?
Yes, and that's why I keep doing it. Like I try to plan like weeks that I'm not racing. I try to plan to do a weekend with the kids or traveling somewhere to talk to them because they are super responsive. Because once you get know it and learn it and see it, it is a really cool sport. So last week I was at a University of Michigan, Flint, and the kids there were amazing. I mean, they were amazing. They didn't know who I was in the beginning, but now once I left, they're always DM me on Instagram saying thank you for coming. They're big fans, and they were showing their mom. I gave them all hero cards with my signature, and so it was really like really cool. But I mean, that's just a small percentage of the population, right? So there needs to be more of us to go out there and do that. But no, they resonate and they love it. It's a loud car, and we're driving really fast. So if you say you wrecked at 200 miles per hour to a kid, they go crazy. What? Did you flip? Yeah. How to use the bathroom? Like, they ask so many questions because they start thinking about it and they care about it. And eventually, I think they're going to learn to love it.
Yeah, it's exposure.
Exactly.
Like, with anything. Exactly. Like, people didn't think you could necessarily get into tennis, and then you saw Venus and Serena. You didn't necessarily think you could do golf.
Exactly.
And then Tiger Woods comes out there.
Exactly.
And so it's just kind of getting it out there and realizing that it is a possibility.
100%. And everybody, drivers are cool, right? I mean, everybody wants to be a driver. It's the cool thing inside of NASCAR. But right. I mean, there are millions of different avenues you can take inside of, not even NASCAR, just in motorsports in general. So a lot of my talks when I go do that is just teaching about what they're doing now, whether it's science or math. Like, you can use those working on these cars, and you can go to college for a PR degree or a social degree. I mean, you can use that. I have a PR person. That people that run the social media for the teams, or engineers. I mean, shock analysts. I mean, there's everything you can think of. There's pilots for the teams to get the teams to and from the racetrack.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is inside of motorsport. So whatever you're doing in school right now, it is going to apply. That if you're interested, you can take it.
When you're there, you do something, like, people meet you, they see how cool it is, you follow your social media, you know, walking down pit road with music and whatnot playing. That's social media.
Yep.
Are the drivers, the teams, the people when you're on tour doing this, are they supportive about this level of expansion and that type of thing? Or, like with anything, I mean, you're competing against them, so they want your success, but how much?
I mean, that's a hard one to answer. I mean, I feel like if they could do it, they probably would, right? I mean, you have to have something about you to be comfortable with doing that, right? Not everybody could be comfortable and be in that type of situation or environment. So you have some people who just embrace it and are really good at it. You have others who kind of just sit back and kind of laugh at you for doing it, right? Because they're not doing it. But it's something that I have to do and I enjoy doing it. I mean, I want to build that social presence, right? To be able to attract all these sponsors like a Sunoco or a Wawa or Exalta. I want to do that. So you have haters, right? People look at you and you're doing your TikToks or your Instagrams on pit road. They laugh at you, but you can't worry about that. I mean, I think I work hard to make sure my on-track presence and my on-track success is at an all-time high too. I mean, I don't want to be a driver who's just working on Instagram, but then I go finish 20th or 25th and not running up front. So throughout the week, I'm always on my simulator. I'm watching my footage. So when I'm at the racetrack, when I'm not racing, I'm doing my social stuff. And when I'm racing, I'm handling business on the track.
It's an expensive sport, I'd imagine. I mean, I don't know, but I don't like making my car payment. And I'd imagine that it's an expensive sport to get into.
Yes.
You know, and so is that part of it also. Like, if you're not just independently wealthy, writing checks, like, you have to get people on board with you.
That's everything. I mean, that's what I'm in the middle of doing now. I want to race for a team next year. So right now, I mean, these next few months and weeks, I'm working every day trying to find sponsors and partners to align with to be able to do that. Because if I can't do that, it's not going to happen. Sadly, talent is only going to take you so far in this sport. What kind of sucks.
Mm-hmm.
So sponsorships and partners are everything. So that's why you have to have a clean image. Present yourself well because you're representing a brand or a company, right? And serious companies. So sponsors is everything in this sport.
I feel like we gotta get you on like a collab with some of these influencers that got all the money that they're sitting there.
That would help out. Please.
You're already doing it. Like, you just collab with them, social media, like take, I don't know, picking names. Like, Jake Paul, where are you?
Exactly.
Like, go ahead and work with him and a bunch of folks. But so you're doing all that. You're building it.
Exactly.
You're doing the social media. You're working with your team to get sponsors.
Yep.
And, oh, by the way, I got to go compete, you know,
it's
and
then go race. People don't understand the behind the scenes of this sport. Like, it's not just getting in a car and driving. Like, there's so much studying I have to do before the race of how to finish well. But just even getting there, whether it's sponsors, all the sim study, everything, sending out emails all day, trying to find sponsors and people to work with. And then once you do that, you got to send it to the team. They got to design the car. You got to worry about getting a suit made, a helmet made. What do the sponsors want? Worry about pit passes for the sponsors. I mean, there's so much as like a – right now it's an independent driver has to figure out. And racing, actually driving the car, is just a small portion of the whole system around it that has to go into it.
Yeah, that's challenging, but I'd imagine that's also the exciting part when you get to go speak to young people.
Yes.
Because that's all of the opportunities, even if you're not a driver.
Exactly.
Like, you can do all of that other stuff.
Exactly.
All right, so the part we don't know, which is, like, all of it. Walk us through a race day for you. When's your next race?
Yep. So, right now, my season just got over with.
Okay.
I just found out today, out of 143 drivers, I finished second in points. I knew I was second in points, but I didn't know that was that many drivers
okay.
in the series the whole time throughout coming in and out. But yet it was like...
You just all nonchalant about that. Like, well, driver, like, I was second.
Yeah.
Like, say it with your chest.
I wanted to win it. But there was like 25 full time that did complete the whole season. But I think there was 143 that came in and out total.
Yeah.
So it's good, but I really want to win it. And I worked really hard to win it. So I up and down emotions about that.
Okay. Man, I'm happy for you.
Thank you. Like, thank you.
Second's legit. Like, nobody, I get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, nobody wants it. We're number two. But it's still, like, you're right there.
Yeah. I am. But I just want to win. I want to win. But okay. One day it's going to come. So I'm just keep working at it. But no, a race day for me, in the series that I'm in, I don't know why, they always open the garage super early. So we always have to get to the track super early, whether it's 7:30, sometimes it was 7 o'clock. So I always like to work out before I do something that's important or serious. Like, I worked out this morning.
Okay.
I feel like it's good for me to clear my mind, know what I have to do. I like when my heart rate's up. I just feel like I perform better.
All right, hold, pause right there for 1 second. So the physically fit, because obviously you're in shape and working out. Is that an important part of this?
Super important. I mean, the cars that we're in throughout a race, it's like 130 degrees. And we're in a fire suit, a Nomex, like an understuff for fires, helmet, gloves. And we're completely covered in fire-resistant stuff. So it's very hot. The racing is like 200 laps. So that's an hour and a half, 2 hours of racing. So you go around a bend in your car at 80 miles per hour, right? You kind of feel it on your body. Your body starts to... So we're going 190 miles per hour into a sharp corner for 250 laps. Like, your shoulders, your neck, your
arms. So it is physically taxing.
It's extremely physically taxing. I mean, it's more than I ever would have thought. So I work really hard to keep myself in shape. I mean, that's kind of been my thing, is kind of outworking my competition.
Okay.
And that's just on the mental, physical, pre-race prep side of things. I want to be the best at it all. So my physical fitness is I think right now at all-time high, because I've been working at it for so long.
But so work out in the morning.
Yep, in the morning.
Keep going with race day.
So exactly, whether it's just a run or running some push-ups, just to kind of get the heart rate up, get the mind ready and body ready. I eat really light in the morning on race days. I don't know why. It's a cup of coffee and before the race, like 2 hours before a race, I have like maybe some type of, whether it's steak or chicken or a little bit of chicken and rice or a banana. But when you get to the racetrack, it's filled with things going on, whether it's getting your pre-race, all your suit gear checked in, making sure you have all the right equipment. And then after that, you have media stuff going on. Then you have meetings with your crew chief and your team about what the day's going to be, what's the goals for the day. By the time all that stuff gets done, it's time to practice. After practice, you have your post-race, your post-practice debrief. How was practice? Did the car get better? Did this change work? Did that change make it worse? What would you do for qualifying? Qualify. After qualifying, straight to driver's autograph session with the fans. That's about an hour.
Okay.
After that, it's another pre-race meeting with the team. What's the job for the day? What are we going to do? How are we going to execute? And once that's done, driver intros, you go race.
This is a full-time gig.
Race day is full-time. I feel bad because you have fans and friends that come out, but they don't get to see you so much because you're just
– right.
You're getting things done, and my job, I'm at work right now, right? So it's a very busy day, but I love it, and I really appreciate and I'm very grateful for those moments I get to do on race day.
This is cool. So people who want to be supportive. So you said the season just ended.
Yep.
So with the season ending, there's downtime for how long? Like now you're kind of recruiting, like getting sponsors.
Yes, yeah, so I can't even say it's downtime. I mean, I've been in South Jersey for the past five days, because my family lives in South Jersey. And mm-hmm. every single day since then, I've been in Philadelphia doing meetings and working and trying to get ready for next year. So there's not really no downtime in racing.
Okay. When do you drive again?
Hopefully in February. But that'll be my next NASCAR race, the Daytona 500 weekend. Okay. And I'm going to race my dirt cars some throughout the off season. So maybe some next month and definitely race in December.
All right. So in the off season, you're just racing a different kind of car.
Yes. You know, yes,
go ahead
exactly.
And stay sharp.
Exactly.
When you were here last week, people don't know, he was here with us and came by, and that's when we set all this up. You mentioned school.
Mm-hmm.
So you were speaking at a school. You're still taking classes yourself?
So both. Right now, I was up 12 o'clock last night doing a report for one of my classes. I'm in school at college. Rowan Cabarrus Community College in North Carolina. It's very close to my race shop I was at, so it was very easy to me to go to the race shop, go to school, come back to the shop. it was simple. For motorsports management, so it kind of correlates with what I'm doing. It's helped me with the business side of the motorsports. Just learning how to attract sponsors and how to get their return on investment in the best way possible for them. And I think the class that I'm in is helping me, is teaching me that. But every sponsor okay. and everything's different, so it's hard. But yeah, then I travel to other colleges to speak with other college students and K-12 kids about STEM and different things I'm doing and how I can apply to them.
So you're carrying a lot.
Yeah.
But just nonchalant about it. Well, you know, it's close to my race team, so I can go to school and then leave in between classes and go
exactly.
back to work.
That's what I do.
And part of that is you're getting all that knowledge to attract sponsors and what have you. The yep. racing side of it is largely what you're focused on now.
Yeah.
Is the goal, the dream, you want to own your own team? Is that, like, how's that? What are the next steps?
I don't know. I know the next 23 years I want to be a full-time NASCAR driver. I know that for a fact.
Okay. The next 23 years are mapped out.
Yeah. But what happens after that? I mean, who knows? I think working with the youth is definitely going to play a huge part of that. I mean, that's, for the past 5 years, been a huge thing that I love to do. So I know whether I'm done racing and what I'm doing, that's always going to be something that I'm doing, is work with the youth. But I know for the next 23 years, I want to be a full-time NASCAR driver. And then whatever happens or comes about within those years, it'd be mm-hmm. pretty cool. I mean, Denny Hamlin, who's one of the best NASCAR drivers right now and definitely of all time, 3 years ago, he's a full-time driver for Joe Gibbs. 3 years ago, he partnered up with Michael Jordan and built his own race team called 2311.
Okay.
So, I mean, whoever knows what can happen, right? I can meet a Michael Jordan one day and build a team and still race. So,
or Shaq.
Exactly.
You should talk to Shaq.
Shaq or LeBron or Curry.
Because Shaq, right now, though, he's got a whole show about investing in different businesses and
working with people. You got to connect me then. Let's do it.
I mean, we could tag him. Post something with Shaq. But people like that kind of type of sponsors that can help expand and grow.
100%. I mean, and they understand the pressure that I'm in. I mean, they started their professional sport at a young age, right? So they understand, and they obviously have the resources to help out, and they're really cool people from what I've seen online. I've never met them in person, but no, I would definitely love it.
Yeah, we got to hook that up. We got to figure out the connection. A couple more questions. I appreciate you spending this much time with us.
Thank you so much.
Fascinated.
That means a lot. It really does. Truly.
Sitting there and getting more information. So the people who are watching, what's the best way that they can help be supportive? They can continue helping you on this journey?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like I said, social presence is a lot to attract sponsors. If you follow me on social media, I think everything is really simple. LeVarScott.com. That's my website, and all of my socials is LeVar Scott. But if you ever have any potential leads to potential sponsors, somebody wants to come on board and help out and have their good name once I have a race car and travel the U.S. racing and come to any race you want to come to, I'm definitely the guy who's make it happen.
I don't have any money, but I would love to see the pulse on the side of the car. That would be cool.
We
put the pulse like right
exactly.
here on the side of this car. We're going to have to work that out. Can I do it on layaway? Put a little something on it on the 1st and the 15th, and you just ride around. Hey, if I don't make the payment, you just paint over it for that month.
We can figure it out.
Is that how it works? For the young people that you're speaking to, particularly young inner city, folks who feel like these doors were closed mm-hmm. for them, for us. What's your message to them?
Please don't ever give up. And I mean, if there's a goal in mind, like, you can go get it done. Like, you can go get it done. I mean, I'm from South Jersey, and like you said, you think NASCAR's from the South, right? And somehow, I've always had this goal since I was younger. I made it happen. I thought about it. I did the work, and still in the process of making it happen. I'm trying really hard. I'm still doing the work. So for my message to them is, please don't give up, and you have to do the work. I mean, it's not going to be given to you. That rarely happens, where there's an opportunity, a big opportunity, just given to you, handed to you. You have to really do the work, believe in yourself, and to not give up.
And they reach out to you. You're playing that mentor role for some of the folks in the 30 seconds of downtime you have in any given day.
Actually, it's good you bring up a lot of them. I mean, I get a lot of DMs from kids, and I put my notifications that if it's a DM, like, even though it's like a public account, if it's a DM, I can still see the message. Mm-hmm. So I set all my stuff so I can see it. So when I see it, I respond to it and try to help out when I can.
We end every episode of The Pulse. The show, the theme of the show is Use Your Voice for Good. Mm-hmm. I feel like we've been talking about that throughout the whole show. But when you hear Use Your Voice for Good, what does that mean to you?
Be positive. And not just to the public, be positive to yourself. I mean, I was in a room 2 nights ago and somebody was just telling me, like, just be positive to yourself. Tell yourself every day, you are great. You are great. And tell yourself and believe it in yourself. So, I think that saying would resonate to me. Just be positive.
You got a promise to come back with us next time when you're number one. So it's number two,
it's
number one.
Exactly in a year.
You're right there. I mean, you can come back before that when we're getting the sponsors. You can come get my monthly payment for the Pulse on the side of the car. But
I'll be here. I'm not going to miss it.
Listen, everybody watching knows I ain't got it. I mean, what's it cost me to get, like, not the whole thing, but, like, right here, where is this? Bugles.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
so...
Can I do that for, like, $9.99 a month? No?
It's a little bit more than that. A little bit more than that.
Not quite. You got management in the building.
A little bit more than that.
We're going to work
something
out. We could do something. Y'all, what am I getting myself
serious.
I know he is. He's off camera going, You're going to add a couple zeros to it.
He wrote it down when you said it.
I appreciate you spending some time with us. I, in full disclosure and honesty, I'm aware of NASCAR. I have seen NASCAR. NASCAR airs on this station. It has never been something that I stopped to watch until now. So now I'm going to be sitting there watching, trying to figure it out, supporting, following on social media, and I encourage everybody else to do the
same.
Thank
you so much, really.
Appreciate you. LeVar Scott, continued success.
Yes, sir.
Guys, thanks so much for listening to the Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast today with NASCAR driver LeVar Scott, who has a really cool story. 22, up and coming, doing things in a sport that traditionally is just not that open to Philadelphia, to South Jersey, to young people, to young African Americans, and telling the story about that growth and development and opportunity and his commitment to spreading it. It was fascinating to me. I hope you enjoyed it as well. Do me a favor and hit like, subscribe, follow, whatever it is on your screen. That will get you a notification every week when another episode of The Pulse comes out. You can hit me up on social media at BillAFox29 and download the Fox Local app so that you can watch all of our shows right there on demand at your fingertips. Thank you so much for listening. I'll speak to you next time, and I leave you today as I always do, reminding you, whenever you can, use your voice for good, and have a good one.